This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
What a pleasure being a Thursday morning at this time. We get to welcome Dr. Wendy Christian, health coach and wellness practitioner at Integrated Health Solution. Wendy, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Brad. Thank you very much.
Are you excited? Wendy's taking a bit of a trip. Are you excited about your journey and your holiday coming up?
I am excited, but there's also a lot to get done before then. So I think the excitement will kick in next week.
Okay, well, good. Well, speaking about excitement, there's possibly also a bit of stress going into all of this. And that's where we're going to be in our multi-part series over the next few weeks, talking about stress awareness. So the truth is, Wendy, we all experience stress of various kinds. It's not really something we can escape.
No, we can't. And some of it we don't really want to escape, but the really intense stress is what we do want to manage well.
So just for our listeners, what exactly are we going to be tackling over the next couple of weeks as we chat around stress?
So we're going to look at the science of stress. We're going to look at stress in the heart, stress in the digestive system, and stress in our mental health.
So let's just start where you've said the science of stress. What exactly? Let's just narrow that down because we're going to touch on that this morning. I'm guessing it's going to probably be what's happening inside of us as we experience various kinds of stress.
Exactly. So if we understand what happens when our bodies are under stress, then it's much easier to manage it. We're going to look at cortisol and its impact on our energy, our sleep, and our cravings. And why is short-term stress okay, but chronic stress harmful?
I want to start there, if you don't mind. You're saying some stress is beneficial and okay. How does that work? I thought avoid stress.
At all costs.
Yes.
I think some of us want to do that. But if we think about it, stress, if we didn't have a little bit of stress, we would actually get nothing done. So stress is beneficial because it triggers our fight or flight response, which boosts our focus and our energy and our resilience. And it helps improve our alertness, it enhances our memory, strengthens our immune system. And as I said, if we don't have that, we don't have the motivation to get things done.
Okay, so if there's good stress, and that's the fight and flight response that you're talking about, and if it gets us going to do some of those things that we need to do, what is the negative part of the stress? Since we're tackling the science of stress, what's happening inside of us when the negative stress hits?
Well, the negative stress, so the fight or flight response is an automatic response. But if cortisol, which is our body's primary stress hormone, is released by the adrenal glands over a longer period of time, that fight or flight response doesn't switch itself off. And that leads to excessive cortisol, which has a lot of negative effects on our bodies.
Yes, I've heard of cortisol is obviously important. That's why it's there. It's just like when we were chatting around diabetes, you know, the pancreas has got its job to do and insulin does its job well. It's when we start to put excessive strain on all of these systems when things start to go wrong.
Yes, that's correct. And it's the nervous system. If we have a little bit of stress, that's good. But if we have long-term chronic stress, it starts to have an impact on various different systems in our body.
So let's talk about that, with that short-term fight or flight is okay. But with the excessive cortisol being released, what's going to start to happen? That's the negative.
So the first thing that starts to happen is that we gain weight and we store a lot more fat. And this is because the cortisol, the elevated levels of cortisol, increases our appetite. It promotes fat storage, and it causes us to store fat around our bellies especially. And then that's linked to metabolic disorders.
What's a metabolic disorder? Sounds terrible.
Metabolic disorder is terrible. So those are all the chronic diseases. So it's things like cardiovascular disease, blood pressure, diabetes, obesity. All of those are considered to be metabolic disorders.
So then will cortisol increase or excessive cortisol increase then start to affect things like our blood sugar?
Yes, absolutely. So it increases the production of our glucose as well as our insulin. It can lead to insulin resistance, and it can eventually contribute to diabetes as well.
Wow. Anything else? I'm sure the list must be quite extensive because stress is causing a massive effect on us. And I know as a man, we often have these conversations as men and just say how we try to deal with the stuff. We don't necessarily deal with it very well, but we start to see it manifesting in our physical bodies and we're becoming unwell.
Yes, exactly. So the other system that affects is our immune system. And you'll often find that, you know, if you've had a prolonged period of stress or if you haven't had, you know, a lot of leave, the first thing that happens, you go on leave and you get sick.
Yeah.
And that's because now, you know, there's nowhere for those stress hormones to go anywhere because you're able to wind down and the body, then often gets. But with that immune suppression, the chronic stress reduces our immune function. It makes us more prone to infection. So we're more susceptible to picking up the bugs that are doing the rounds. And our healing slows down. Our ability to get better and recover slows down as well.
What are some of the other negatives of all of that cortisol, Wendy?
So the other thing it does is it breaks down our muscles. It breaks down the proteins that our bodies use for energy, and so it can lead to muscle weakness and fatigue. So many people with chronic stress struggle with fatigue and a body weakness as well. The other thing that it does is it disrupts our hormones. Mm. So high cortisol can reduce our testosterone, estrogen, and progesterone. And that's important for both men and women. We all need those just in different ratios. Mm. And for women, it can it can affect our menstrual cycles. So it can cause irregularities there. It can affect libido, and it can certainly have an impact on our fertility as well.
Yeah, Dr. Wendy, when one talks about stress, one thinks when somebody has heart or struggles with heart disease or heart attack, very often these come out of people that are in a very high stress kind of environment. So what effect does stress have then on our hearts that are leading us down that dark alley?
So again, it's back to that fight or flight response. It causes our bodies to run on high alert, which means you're constantly producing those stress hormones. Mm. It activates our sympathetic nervous system, which is that fight or flight response. And that in turn raises our heart rate and our blood pressure. So if that continues over time, we put our hearts under a lot of strain, and that can cause a heart or a stroke.
So then does it affect the blood pressure?
It affects blood pressure, yes. So it causes persistent constriction on the blood vessels, and then it increases our risk, which then puts pressure on the blood pressure system, and then also increased risk for strokes and heart attacks.
Goodness. Okay. So now we need to know before we move on, and I think we'll pick up the rest of it in another episode. But I'm just saying, if there's high blood pressure and there's an increased risk of heart attack, what about, I mean, can it damage the arteries of our body? I mean, this is obviously seeming like something quite massive that's happening inside of our bodies. Isn't as simple maybe as just what I've said as I've asked you the question?
Yes. So absolutely. Any sort of stress or chronic prolonged stress is going to potentially cause inflammation. And in the case of the cardiovascular system, that damages our arteries. It causes a plaque buildup in the arteries, which is known as atherosclerosis. And then that we lose the elasticity in our arteries, which means that the pump system can't work. And so that does certainly put our increases our risk for heart attacks and strokes as well.
Yeah. Anything else that can happen inside the heart? Just as we wrap this up this morning.
Yeah, the other thing that can happen is irregular heart rhythms or arrhythmias. Some people experience palpitations or skipped heartbeats. You can get angina. There's all sorts of more serious heart rhythm disorders, but these can certainly all be exacerbated by stress. So it's not always just stress, but stress will be, the straw that breaks the camel's back.
Yeah, so we want to at least leave this on a more positive note than with some people listening right now and saying, yeah, I'm experiencing this, or I know of someone who has, and yeah, it's often stress-related. Are a lot of these things, to a certain degree, reversible, or can we make their effect less severe by making necessary changes?
Yes, absolutely. So there are many ways that we can manage our stress, and important, we should be in control of our stress. Our stress shouldn't be in control of us.
I'm going to ask you a tricky question. Please continue. Please continue.
Carry on.
I was going to say, just before we go, I just want one simple thing that somebody listening today can do from today that can, if they are persistent and continue it and add other things we'll talk about in the future, but one small thing they can do today to help reduce those stress levels and the negative effect of excessive stress.
Well, I think the one thing I would always recommend is breathing, deep breathing, because when we're stressed, we breathe very shallowly, and that continues that cycle of stress hormone production. The minute we breathe more deeply, that you know, our brains get the message that we're not under threat, and we're able to go more into that rest and digest phase, and that really does help to reset the stress response in the body.
You gave us a tip a long time ago, and now it's coming back to me as you're talking about this breathing. You gave us a tip of, it had a number to it. Do you remember it? It was so many breaths in, so many breaths out in terms of seconds. What was that?
Yes. So there's two different types. You get box breathing, and then you get a sort of a slower release breathing. So the box breathing is you breathe in for the count of five, you hold for the count of five, you breathe out for the count of five, and you breathe in for the count of five. And you hold, it's in, hold, out, hold. You've got to concentrate a little bit more with that one. The other one that's a little easier is you breathe in for the count of four, you hold for the count of six, and you breathe out for the count of eight.
Okay. So this is a mathematical thing. Don't get stressed about the maths now. Defeat the object.
Exactly. So do the one that's easier for you. And if you can do it every time you go to the bathroom, every time you're feeling stressed, you can do it throughout the day. It doesn't have to just be, you know, once a day is not going to do it. Do it before you go to bed. Do it in the morning when you wake up. It really does help to settle the nervous system and to control that stress response.
There you go. Very simple, very powerful thing to do that can already set you on the path to where you need to go. Of course, there's many other things we need to change, and we'll chat more about that as well as we continue this multi-part series around stress and its effects on our bodies and how to beat it. Massive thanks to Dr. Wendy Christian, health coach and wellness practitioner at Integrated Health Solution. Wendy, thanks so much for your time and expertise. We'll catch up again with you soon.
Pleasure, Brad. Have a great Thursday.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.